Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Both types of sports with Shoot and Tour. Football discussion on the internet.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to Both Types of Sports. Welcome, welcome, welcome. I do have some good news for those of you that are tour aficionados. He will return to the program next week from whatever his lavish vacation of the week is. I think we got the inside skinny on last Friday's episode of CDVTW that it was actually a family sojourn. So that doesn't sound nearly as nefarious. Yeah, so if you've been craving yourself some Sasquatch, and God knows I have, those thick haunches, man, they just will sit there and they'll run roughshod through your brain. He'll be back next week. Sean Salisbury scheduled to join us today on the program. Sal's is presented by Dream Stay Getaways. You can check the banner at the bottom of the screen if you're watching live, and if you're listening via the podcast, getting some decent numbers on the audio podcast. You can just go to dreamstaygetaways.us, check out their awesome houses. If you're going down to the Pawks this winter, book through their website and you're going to save a pile of cash. Saves them a pile of cash. They transfer the savings to you. Houses are real nice. A lot of amenities. Perfect for families. You'll love it. It's inside of resorts. They're great homes. And you can save some cash and have a beautiful stay down in Florida this winter. Dreamstaygetaways.us. They're on Instagram as well. Check them out. And they make it possible for us to have Sean Salisbury on the program. This has nothing to do with football, but while I'm plugging shit, did a watch-along party for the Muppet Family Christmas. And maybe you're not as Christmassy as the Shootster is, but really one of the lost gems that has not matriculated its way to physical media the way that it should. It was an hour-long special that was put together back in the 80s, and it's somehow on YouTube, and you can watch it. And I haven't, you know, I don't know who owns the rights, but normally it'd be very difficult to do that sort of thing on YouTube, but it wasn't. And me and my buddy Samoa Bo, back from the old JFK days, we sat down and watched it and provided commentary, and it was transformative. If anybody from fucking YouTube is paying attention, which I don't think they are. Check it out. It's on the YouTube page, youtube.com/Chad Dukes Show. I did 3 or 4 pop-up shows this week, too. So a bunch of content up there for FREE. If people are ever wondering what I'm doing and they're not willing to plunk down the credit card, I had some motherfucker I just deleted off my Facebook the other day that asked me a very general question about something that if he was paying attention, all would know. And he's like, well, I don't listen to your show anymore. I just listen to old free things on YouTube. And I'm like, it's probably why you don't know what I'm discussing currently. Cool story, bros. $9.99. Thank you so much for the super chat. We do accept super chats on this program. Love me some Both Types of Sports. The movie stream last night was a gem. Yeah, it did pretty good numbers. People seem to enjoy it. So if you're looking for additional content, check that watch along. It is on the YouTube channel. And thank you for the super chat. Cool story, bros. My next guest needs no introduction, and he is a man that is being pulled in many different directions. So let's get him involved with the show early and often. My buddy Sean Salisbury is with us, host of the Sean Salisbury Show. Sal's great to see you, man. How are you?
So I'm doing good, bud. How are you?
Man, and it always is the problem that I have when you're on. I got too many things I want to ask you about. Let's start with the biggest one. Cousins get, I've never, You don't see quarterbacks for teams that are in the thick of the playoff hunt, especially teams that can still win their division. They don't usually get benched. And I'm excited to watch Michael Penix play. I want to start there. Like, I think he's going to be a good player. And it does not excuse, which in my opinion is one of the most atrocious handlings, personnel handlings I maybe have ever seen, to give that much guaranteed money and then to not use those picks to get weapons for your new quarterback. And now Kirk Cousins is saying, he's not hurt. You know, we know he's recovering from injury, but he can still do it. But there's something mentally that isn't clicking for him right now. And it's not, you don't have to really leave a trail of breadcrumbs to think maybe it's because he wanted to relocate there. He's got family there. He's going to Braves games. And all of a sudden they don't tell his camp, they draft a quarterback. And now he's kind of screwy in the head with his decision-making. I don't think that sounds like a conspiracy to point to maybe the way the Falcons handled this whole thing is the reason why Kirk Cousins is having trouble right now.
Yeah, this has so many branches and layers to it. One is, I never think a team owes an explanation to a player that they drafted a player at his position. But when you sign that guy in the offseason for that kind of money, it would probably be pretty cool if you just went up to, if you're expecting him to be the leader of your team, which they were, for that money and the position he plays, and he's had tremendous success in the league. There is no arguing that. There's a lot of guys who haven't won Super Bowls or been to him. He's had great success in the league. It would have been kind of, I think, courteous to say, dude, we're thinking about drafting this kid because at some point in time, we think he can be a good player with the eighth pick of the draft. But to find out another way, that starts it off like, well, damn, I don't want to be entitled or a sacred cow, but, you know, it would have been nice if they'd have just let me know that they were considering it, because you're thinking with the eighth pick or the first, that top pick, let's go get a couple more good players, like you said, and load up. We invested in this guy. Let's go validate it and put up, empty the bucket for him. Well, there's the next player. I'm not saying this is Cousins, but this would be human nature. Well, damn, they paid me all this money, but they draft a guy when they have all these other weapons to go get with the eighth pick of the first round and they don't expect him to play. They either don't hold me in high regard, yet then you say, but they paid me, yet maybe they didn't think they were going to get Penix and they wouldn't have paid you, or, man, it's just an insurance policy for the future. Well, all that being said, even veterans who've been in the league a long time can get insecure. And then all of a sudden you say, okay, one bad game. And I said it last summer on my show. I said, one thing you got to be alert for. And after the draft, I said, when he goes to training camp, the very first time after you draft Michael Penix and you throw two picks in a game, people are going to start talking. Then if you have a second bad game, and then they're going to be left no choice if it continues. Well, the truth is Cousins the last six games has played like a guy who doesn't belong in the league. That's how bad he's played, which is so not like him. He may have a bad game, but he's always recovered. So whether it's mental and psychological that he feels a lack of confidence, which is normal for anybody, regardless of how good they've been, and now you've turned it over to him. If Penix has a good game, that glove's left on the mound. He'll never start another game. Kirk Cousins will not play again unless something happens to Penix. So the plan was to play Penix at some point, but I don't think this year. And so, yes, they mishandled it. At the time, I said, it's a great pick because I love Penix. But right here with Atlanta, I'm not sure it's the right pick for them with Cousins there. Well, here we are. And I don't think they anticipated Cousins playing this poorly these last six games, and they have been putrid. You have to make the switch. You have got to go see what Penix is about. But the whole thing, it just reeks of bad management. And quite forbidden, when I say bad management, bad the timing of the management and how they did it, although I love the pick. Now Kirk Cousins may end up being a starting quarterback somewhere else, or if that ship has sailed. But it's a bummer because you emptied the bucket. But he's getting paid, so nobody's going to feel sorry for him, I'm sure. And a lot of money, but we're excited, and I am, about to see what Michael Penix brings. But it's a bummer for Cousins because I know he's better than this, but it's going to end up, I mean, and you know the fan base is craving Michael Penix after these last 6 weeks of offense.
Two things here, and I want to make it clear. I agree with you. I'm excited to see Penix, and I think he's going to be a good quarterback. But think about then the assets, $180 million contract, big chunk of that guaranteed. Like,
if
you're going with Penix, then give him those weapons. That's a question. And look, you're right. Cousins, they're 1-4 down this stretch. One touchdown, 9 interceptions. He took 11 sacks. A lot of those were his fault, and he's 36 years old. I understand that. The business component of this, Sal's, though, I think I can't imagine we're not lockstep. Why would he do anything other than what Derek Carr did? That is, I'm not going to waive my no trade clause. You can bench me. You can get rid of me this quickly, but you're going to pay me my money and you're going to cut me so that I can go pull a Russell Wilson. You don't think Kirk Cousins could find his way out to San Francisco? There's a bevy of places.
He'd be starting in Tennessee right now.
You're absolutely right. I think that's what happened. I think that's what he has to do.
I agree. And at 36, you know, now you're at the back end of your career. Listen, they don't do you any favors. I'm not giving them a break and taking this or waving. Absolutely friggin' not. You're going to cut me, which means you still owe me all my money, my guaranteed money, and I can go double dip and get another job somewhere else. Yeah, they're damn right. I'm not giving them that leave because they didn't give me the lug. They didn't give me the same respect or courtesy when you drafted a quarterback after you paid me, and they sure as hell didn't give it to me. You're benching me, so you don't think that I can go through streaks and come out of this? All those things that are questioned. I do believe that you have to make this change now. Now, whether it's I'm assuming if Penix plays well, it's going to be permanent, as I said. But, yeah, business-wise for the team, it wasn't real business-like to do what they did and guarantee all that money. But it's real business-like for Cousins, smart business, to say no. And look what Russell Wilson's career is now. He's got a team that's a Super Bowl possibility, and he's become a big part of that. So Cousins has got to wait this out. He'll play quarterback somewhere else, I'm sure. I'm not cutting them a slack for doing that. It's business, and you will follow as such, hence why the word guaranteed is on there. I'm not giving you any hometown or that I was going to move here discount, because now there's got to be this feeling of what a bummer. And I don't blame him, but he hasn't played well enough to keep the job. But I damn well know his career's been well enough where he could land somewhere else that he's better than the bottom third of the guys in the league. I know that.
Sam Darnold has 3,530 yards. He's got 29 touchdowns. He's one win away from the one seed in the NFC. And I think the difference here, Sal's, is they were up front. The Vikings were up front. They're like, yeah, hey, we can work on this, but we're going to draft the guy. And I'm with you. If you're a business, you don't necessarily have to coddle all of your employees and tell them everything that you're up to. But when you do get to a certain level, and we're talking about, you know, we're going to give you $60-$80 million guaranteed, you would think, I didn't have a problem with if Caleb Williams is jockeying for ownership or whatever. Let's push the boundaries. Like it's worked for a lot of these guys. And I think the difference in, you know, we see this term now, this is not a serious franchise. The Vikings are a serious franchise. And the Atlanta Falcons up until this point, they just continue. They're not on the level of the Jets or some of these other organizations, but they don't seem serious to me with the way that they handle their business. And this feels very symptomatic of that.
There's no question. And the truth is, the Atlanta Falcons probably need to go over and talk to Kirby Smart at the University of Georgia and say, how do we do this right? Yeah. Honest to God, it's a fact. And I would. Hell, he should be walking through that building and teaching them how to do this right, because they've got good players. But they just seem to have, you know, those organizations like you kind of just mentioned that just seem, it's like my Raiders right now. They just seem to be a step behind, or they're in the wrong lane all the time. I mean, all the friggin' time. And whether it's a draft or a decision or a free agent or a coach, it's just like, what in the world are we doing here? So I would agree. And real quick on Darnold, I get asked this all the time. What would, after you sign him to play him 1 year, hopefully hold it over, see if he could rejuvenate his career, in which everybody has always held him in high regard as an arm talent.
Yeah.
Shanahan, they all have. And every expert I've talked to is nobody's told me they don't believe Darnold could play, even when he was at his worst. Well, it's paying off now. And you know what? You no longer have McCarthy coming off. I mean, are you guaranteeing that McCarthy is going to be your starter in 2025? I'm not. And the original plan was to, well, Sam, and then he'll go somewhere else and JJ will be ready. But coming off an injury, he'll in terms be, I mean, years, he'll be a second year guy, but he'll be a rookie. So he hasn't taken any snaps yet. I franchised Darnold tomorrow. Now I'd love to give him a long-term contract, but if you're in the, well, it was 1 year, let me see if I can do this again. Right. Let me see if Sam's, if this is who he is, let's franchise him and then see what goes on. If he repeats it next year, then we're in a bit of dilemma and we can either sign him long-term or trade him and get assets for him, as opposed to just letting him walk, and then JJ's ready to take it over. And I think McCarthy will be a good player. But I'd franchise Darnold. I would. And if I'm San Francisco, I may do the same with Purdy, unless you're convinced. And I love Brock Purdy. But if you think, well, I got the franchise tag, let's use it. They're not going to get the guaranteed money. And I'm not really worried about pissing off a quarterback. $40 million or 40, it's like $39 to $42 million, somewhere in $38 million that you'd get by being franchised. And I think that'd be fair to Darnold after what's gone on early in his career to go do it again. So those type of business moves that smart teams make, unless you know Darnold or unless you know Brock Purdy, And I think Purdy, well, obviously has had a better start to his career and is a really good player. So you may want to get him to the 45 or 50. But Darnold, you may want to wait a year, but he's still going to make money. So business is important, and the Atlanta Falcons have not handled theirs very well over the years.
Yep, I'm glad you brought up Darnold. I'm glad we talked about Purdy. The 49ers, either the window is closed or it hasn't. It certainly looks like it has right now, but they're also very injured, and there have been some kind of freak occurrences that have taken place with that team this year where they had such a blessed season before, and sometimes that stuff, whenever I see a running back, Sal's, get, you know, this many carries and this many touches, like, there's probably going to be an injury, and there was. Would you pay Purdy 45, 50 Dak Prescott money, or Cousins might be available, Aaron Rodgers might be available, Sam Darnold might be available? I mean, I know bird in the hand, but all we heard about with Purdy is, okay, these guys are injured, it's his time to go out there and earn his money, and we saw what happened. Granted, it was sloppy and it was rainy, but the Rams are now in the pole position, and I think I would feel more comfortable if I believed I was still in a championship window and I'm the 49ers taking a shot at one of these other guys that Kyle Shanahan is comfortable with and might be comfortable in his system.
All right, let me, and you make a great point. Let me just be the devil's advocate, and I'm not, I don't argue with you, because both of those have been in the league a lot longer and more physically gifted, although I think Purdy's got underrated physical skills. I do. But his strength isn't. He's not going to throw it through a car wash without getting it wet, but I can rest assured he'll hit the car wash. He's a pretty accurate passer. Yes, all these injuries. See, Brock's not a guy that carries a team that doesn't have good players. That's reserved for the Favres and the Elways. Not that they didn't have good players, but we saw Brady do it. Those guys are few and far between. He, like Prescott, need really good players around him and healthy, because then he's a perfect guy for it, because he stays in rhythm. He's got all the threats. He's not a guy saying, hey, let me load you up on your back like a good hitter, and he's going to carry you for 6 weeks straight in baseball. But I think Purdy, I still think he's underrated. I do. Now, why are we assured? Let me ask you this, as the devil's advocate. Is Cousins a more championship quarterback than Purdy?
Probably not.
And is at this stage, while Rodgers is one of the best throwers of the football, and I know all that's going on with he and Pat and Clark and all that stuff, which is fun to sit back and watch. Is Aaron still Aaron Rodgers? Would he be in San Francisco? He'd probably thrive. I thought he'd thrive in New York. The question the 49ers got to ask themselves on a rental of a year or two with those guys is sewing up Purdy. If Kyle believes in Purdy like he says he has, then you're going to pay him $45 to $50 million. You are going to give him Dak Prescott money, because, quite frankly, he's taken his team farther than Prescott's taken his Cowboys team, and that's a fact.
Yeah.
So he's a winner. The question is, do you think he's winner enough to be that guy that is going to continue to change your franchise regardless of players that come and go over the next 10 years? Or you have the luxury of franchising him as well and making him go one more prove-it season when everybody's back healthy. I think you always visit, can I make my team better? The question you have to ask at this stage of their careers, does Rodgers or Cousins make their team better than Brock Purdy? Everybody's got a debate.
Yeah, they do. I wanted to play this for you, Sal, and I wanted to get your response, because it's Anthony Richardson. In my opinion, it's another gaffe at the microphone, and it's something I think – I wish there was somebody in this young man's life that could take him aside and be like, you can do better on the field and you can do better in front of the podium. Here's how you do it in front of the podium.
Honestly, because every week, you know.
So he's asked here, let me give you some context, if whether or not it was difficult to get past the loss to the Denver Broncos, where they had a lead and the running back drops the ball on the 1 yard line. And it sounds like he doesn't believe that's difficult at all.
I don't think it's difficult, honestly, because every week, you know, you're trying to win that week. We're not necessarily thinking about last week. You know, it happened. It is what it is. So we're just trying to make sure we finish out strong this year. So if we do get an opportunity to get in the playoffs, then, you know, we make sure that we take care of our business.
I don't think he technically said anything wrong, but in the moment where you control your destiny, it's a pivotal game, to just completely dismiss it that way. I go back to when he said, I was tired and I had to get out. Like, you don't need to, you can phrase this in a different way. Hey, I got the wind knocked out of me. I had to come out of the game and get my composure and go back in there. I just think that there's something in how casual he is about the way he says things that's working against him, that makes his job more difficult for him moving forward, because I'm just reading about people now taking that comment. I mean, like, why doesn't this mean more to you? That opportunity was squandered against Denver last week.
Yeah, and I think at times it you know, you start to question, well, do you love this? Do you love it? Is it your life? I mean, it's got to be your life. To be good, it's got to be your life. I mean, it does. I hate to say it, but with family, you're as much time in football as you are with your family, even more during the fall. Listen, here's what. First off, we get mad at athletes and coaches for being transparent and just speaking their mind and telling how they feel. We want them to, and then when they do, we're on them because we want them to put a muzzle on it, or, you know, be a little more filtered with their comments because we need to make sure our quarterback loves it. What he said there, if you're just listening on the surface, it's like, yeah. I will tell you this, Chad, one thing I do know, and he is right on this part. Athletes get over their loss. Most of them get over a loss far quicker than media and fans do. By the time most planes I've been on, now the ride home, if you get your ass kicked and it's a long ride, whether you're playing cards or sleeping or catching up on a trip and, you know, resting and it's miserable. And, you know, so I'm one of those guys. And I asked Dick Vermeil this. I said, did you have any regrets about your career? And Dick Vermeil told me, he goes, the only regret I really have is that I didn't enjoy the wins as much. I suffered too much. So it's the same thing with those losses. You want to suffer over them, and I do believe you need to let them fester for a day and then move on. Hard to do, and for some it's easier. But athletes, on a Wednesday, when you're talking to us about the week before and we're happy-go-lucky and jovial, most of the time athletes, while it still sits in our car when we watch the tape, we're over it because we're told by our coaches, you got to get rid of the rearview mirror. The windshield's bigger. Got to look ahead. We're not looking behind. So that's ingrained in your DNA from the time in your head. And so when you approach that way, we're like, well, he doesn't care. That's too nonchalant, Karen. So on the surface, he didn't say anything wrong. But yes, optics for him have become overly important in my mind after the way he went about. I tapped out because I was tired. Come on, son. That right guard ain't tapping out. Quentin Nelson at left guard, they're not tapping out. You can't do it. So there's something to learn there. And on the other side is, while I like the demeanor of I'm going to move forward and we're going to keep playing, I think that when it's the fan base or media, even if he would have lied to us, you know, sometimes you got to lie a little bit, like when he said, like you said, hey, man, I was exhausted. I thought I was cramping. That's why I came out to play instead of just straight out honest, man. I checked out. I was done, man. I was too tired. Yeah. You know, what'd you just say? You're too tired. Tell me you're hurt. Tell me you got a cramp or you got a hammy. And we're going to go fix it. And it's the same here. I think what people want to hear is, damn it. You know what? It was bad. I got to play better. We got to play better. Yeah. We are on the verge of trying to get in these playoffs, and every single game matters. But we got to move forward because we can't let it fester, because that does us no good. And it's actually the decibel level too. And maybe that's just not him. The optics are wrong because you want your quarterback to almost care to the point where it drives you into the ground, yet you want him to return the next week and play even better. So it's a slippery slope. But if he wants to call me, I can walk him through some of these things and take him and tell him just optics. It's like Caleb Williams' optics. His laying down on the bench on the sidelines. I know we don't have time for that today, but I'm going to tell you what, as much as I love my Trojan quarterback, the look tells me stop playing the victim, that everybody else's fault. And it's a bad look. And I think optics can be overrated. I do body language in his case and in Anthony Richardson's case for different reasons. They've got to understand where they are in this pecking order and exactly, you know, new in the league and how people are staring at them and the accountability and responsibility it takes to lead teams. And right now, both have some fixing to do.
I completely agree, and I'm sorry. I wish we had enough time to get to that. We'll get to that next week, Sal. I know you're booked solid today. Thank you so much for making time, as always, buddy. Great to catch
Appreciate
up with
hey,
you.
Hey, my man, Merry Christmas to you. I love you, brother. Thank you.
Merry Christmas. Love you too, brother. Give you my your family my best, please. Good
Thank
to see you,
you
very
the
much.
Same. All right,
there he is.
Thanks.
The great Sean Salisbury. He actually had I won't put his business in the street, but he's got something cool going on, and he was dealing with that today and still said, hey, I want to make it on the show, even though I'm booked up, so let's make it work, and we did, and I always appreciate him. Of course, I'm sure most of you are familiar with the picture that he is referring to, and that is this one. Look, far be it for me, couple of things here. One, Anthony Richardson and Caleb Williams are better behind the mic, which is how I make a living, than I would be playing football. Does that make sense? Like, the fact that they have problems in front of a mic or in front of a camera or with their image, my problems would be greater doing what they do for a living. So they're already up on the pecking order, even with this criticism that's going to come here. The reason why you get all of the extra money and all of the extra fame and the hottest women, any metric that you would like to use to gauge what you get as compensation for your slot in life, they get the best of it, right? Quarterback, Johnny Football fucking Hero. Everybody wants to talk with them. I've been in NFL locker rooms, getting audio, talking to players. You don't know how awkward it is when there are grown men, professional football players, some of them very good at what they do, and ain't nobody want to talk to them. Nobody puts a mic in front of their face. Nobody cares what they have. This, that literally, you find out if anyone cares. I can sit here right now and I can delude myself into believing anything as far as what my potential audience is going to be with people hearing this. Like, even with me looking up at the counter and seeing how many people are in here, I'd be like, oh, the podcast gets way more. There's the ability to do that. If you're in a locker room with 30 reporters and they're all clustered around three guys and you're just sitting around there taking your jock off, you really instantly know nobody knows or cares to know what you have to say. And that's a wild thing, because most people, it's why I have so much respect for fighters, specifically MMA fighters, not necessarily boxers, because it's such a one-dimensional sport. But with an MMA fighter, you get locked inside of a cage. And yes, there's a referee, but it's mano a mano. It's that guy is going to come over here and try to put me on my ass. And my job is to put him on his ass. And there's really not a lot of room for excuses. If it goes to the judges, all right, this commission shit, Dana White saying these guys don't know what they're doing, fine. But I had 3-5 rounds to beat this guy and I couldn't do it. There's just way less of a wiggle room for bullshit. When you're playing professional football, there is an enormous amount of room for bullshit. The refs stink. The elements, we're in another team's stadium. The ground, the field suck. Look, we're at FedEx Field. There's holes in the floor. Like, there's all kinds of excuses. And this is what I'm just telling you can tell yourself, not necessarily what you put out there. When you are a quarterback, everyone's sticking the mic in your face no matter what. Like, there's increased amounts of everything. And so everything you do then can be analyzed and overanalyzed fairly, because it comes with the territory. The benefits are too high and the negatives are too low. So it's part of it. So when I'm criticizing Anthony Richardson here and you're listening to this thing, well, he didn't say anything wrong. Let me play this again.
Difficult, honestly, because every week, you know, you're trying to.
So he's saying, I don't think it's difficult, honestly, to get past the Denver Broncos game. Here is what I would say. I would say, man, what was tough about that is we had an opportunity to win and we made some mistakes, and that's a good team. And we had a chance to go out there and show that we're worth the playoffs. And, you know, we fell short. So we got to learn from that and make the most of our time left. We're still numerically not eliminated here. So we're going to go out and grind and work. You're saying the same fucking thing, but you're not leaving the door open for turds like me to sit here and be like, what the fuck are you?
I don't think it's difficult, honestly.
It is difficult. It is. And I know, and I appreciate what Sal says, and I appreciate the fact that athletes have, you know, thicker skin than most of us. You've got to be able to get past losses and failures and personal hardships. But I think there was a reason when Caleb Williams came out earlier in the season after the Fail Mary, where they lost to the Commanders, and he said, hey man, that thing's still sitting with us. It's like, that's the transparency. That's the honesty. That isn't good either. I wouldn't admit that either, but there's a way to convey that without making it sound like you're detached from the moment.
Every week, you know, you're trying to win that week. We're not necessarily thinking about last week.
You shouldn't be, but some weeks are bigger than others, and losing to the Denver Broncos in that way was bigger than others.
You know, it happened. It is what it is. So we're just trying to make sure we finish out strong this year. So if we do get an opportunity to get in the playoffs, then, you know, we make sure that we take care of our business.
He's an interesting case, too, because he had so little experience even in college before he was drafted. And, again, it's not his fault that he was overdrafted by the Colts and it was a playoff-ready team and yada, yada, yada. We all know that. I want to get back to Kirk. Again, if you want to chime in on anything, $2 super chat will get you in and up on the screen. I don't have any more guests scheduled for the rest of the hour, so I'm just going to be blithering here incoherently. If you want to be a part of the show, you are more than welcome to do that. I would migrate on over to YouTube. It is easier to do that. YouTube.com/Chad Duke Show if you'd like to watch live. So Kirk is benched. Kirk Cousins is benched, and they're going with the rookie that they drafted with the 8th overall pick in April. I know you guys know all this shit, right? If you're listening or watching this, you know all the same shit I'm about to say. But I was watching. What was I watching? was watching Rich Eisen talk about this, and he went back to the moment where that pick happened, and it was all anyone talked about. And not even just after the first day of the draft. We're talking about the draft is a week old, and it's still all everybody was talking about. It was a seismic shift in the narrative surrounding the 2024 NFL draft. And for one reason and one reason only, the Falcons are tards. The Falcons are boobs. The Falcons are waterheads. The Falcons are not a serious franchise. You cannot, in the same offseason, the optics of it. We're just talking about optics here. Well, these are 25, 26, 24-year-old quarterbacks. They're not billion-dollar organizations with billionaire owners and millionaire general managers and coaches. The optics of giving Kirk Cousins a four-year, $180 million contract and then whipping around with the eighth overall pick and taking a quarterback, if it's Joe fucking Montana, it still looks like shit. It looks like you don't know what you're doing. Why? Well, Dukes, you've got your quarterback. Now he's 36, 37 years old, coming off of an injury. You got your quarterback for the future. He could sit. First of all, Penix was one of the older quarterbacks in the draft. Every year you're not playing him, you're losing that rookie salary that is so goddamn valuable in the NFL right now. And then also, there is no denying that you could have used that pick to get a really good player. A tackle, an end, an offensive lineman, a tight end that you seemingly want to involve in your offense. I mean, there's so many different things. Like Darnell Mooney is as fine of a player as he is. He should not be the best leading receiver on the Atlanta Falcons right now. He should not with the talent they have. You fucked up, and there's no going back from that. Now, Cousins, we're a couple of weeks removed from him setting the record for yards thrown in a game for an Atlanta Falcons quarterback. I mean, it's not like this was, oh, he's washed from the second he walks out on to the field. And yes, he's still recovering from his injury. It takes a couple of years, but there really isn't much of an explanation as to why his head seems to be on a swivel right now. And why they're 1-4, and he has one touchdown and nine picks, 11 sacks. And you can point to his age, you can point to whatever it is, but you can't tell me. You can't tell me, because we constantly go to people's bank accounts. If someone's making a lot of money, they don't have the problems I have. They're not insecure. They don't have the same fucking stability issues. They don't have the anxiety. Just because Kirk Cousins is a fucking G when it comes to manipulating the system and the structure of getting paid in the NFL. And somebody said it in the chat earlier. I saw it. I don't remember. Michael Slider. He said, they should teach a fucking class. Every single quarterback that comes into this league, Kirk Cousins should be given a role by the NFLPA where he sits down and teaches a three-hour class. This is how you're going to work your career. This is how it's going to happen. Now, you got to be good. Like, you got to force the Washington Redskins. That, by the way, I like the Pat McAfee show. I've watched a couple clips now. They're scared to say Redskins. That kind of confuses me. Considering some of the other things that are said by some of the other guests on that show, they seem a little bit more based. I was surprised by that. But yes, Kirk Cousins played for the Washington Redskins. He didn't play for the Washington football team or the Washington Commanders. And you got to be good enough to force them to continue to franchise you. I'm not saying it's inevitable, but the way that he did these contracts, how many bites he's going to ultimately get in the apple. And I think he might not feel that way right now. Like, he might be looking at this situation, I fucked up. How could I not stay in Minnesota? I should have taken half the money they were offering and stay in Minnesota and throw to Jordan Addison and Justin Jefferson and, oh my God, and TJ Hawkinson. And they're going to, we had a great back. Oh, now we got another great back. We got two great backs. Look at this defense. Look at this Brian Flores defense fucking dialing it up. We're playing inside. I should. Two things about that. One, Kirk's going to get another bite at the apple. You are fucking deluding yourself if you think that Kirk Cousins is washed and nobody else is going to give him a look, and not just a look to come in and back up, but a look to start. If you don't think the Tennessee Titans are going to be interested in throwing a shitload of money at Kirk Cousins. You don't know how inept that team is. I do. You don't think that San Francisco is at least having the conversation right now if these jokers cut this guy outright? Because they're going to have to. Kirk is not going to waive his no-trade clause, and nor should he. Nor should he. The fact that anyone would even ask that of him is fucking asinine. I don't think Kirk is just a cold-blooded mercenary. I think he wants to win. I do. I think he thought he could win in Atlanta. But I also think that he knows what runs the world, and it's dollar-dollar bills, y'all. And I think that he is very motivated by that. I think he makes decisions on the football fields. I've had professional former quarterbacks come on my show and say, Kirk's really worried about his completion percentage. Kirk will do things on the field to protect that. I'm not making any allegations. But I think at the end of the day, what might be most important to Kirk Cousins is, let me stack as much cash as I possibly can before I get out of this game, because my time here is finite. He's had a longer time to take bites of the apple than most. And now, because this has happened, he's going to get another one. Falcons are going to have to pay him a grip. And then if he does feel like, I want to go out and win, let me go pull a Russell Wilson. Let me find a team that I think's pretty good that's going to give me a chance to play. By the way, pay me $1 million, because these jokers are going to have to cop me the rest. So while it looks bad right now, I think he probably isn't feeling very good right now. I've got a clip of him. I'm just very impressed by anybody that can just be kicked right in the fucking nards and then walk out and address the media in a mature fashion. It's a very unique skill. I don't know a lot of people that can do it. I can't do it. You guys see how emotional I get about the dumbest shit. The old radio station I used to work with clearly made the right call getting rid of me. But I came up with a concept for a live show. They fired me, and now they're continuing to do the live show at the venue that I put them in touch with. Just, you know, I couldn't stop myself during a Christmas special from bitching about that last night. I'm not built that way. Emotions on the sleeve type of shit, and Kirk's different. Greg of Manassas, $10 super chat. We do accept super chats on the Both Types of Sports radio program. The Muppet Christmas Party kicked an acre of ass, but I'm hyped for the holiday hoot tomorrow night. Thank you, sir. Chad Duke Show Holiday Hoot Nanny is tomorrow evening, that being Friday, whenever you're listening to this. We kick it off at 7. You can watch on YouTube or Facebook.com/Chad Dukes Show. And thank you for the super chat, Greg. All of that goes into the hopper. All right.
Summer's hotter weather is finally here, but don't let hair loss also make you sweat. Regrow hair with help from Hims. They provide access to personalized treatment so you can see thicker, fuller hair in just 3 to 6 months. Get started from the comfort of home. Fill out an intake form and a medical provider will determine if treatment is right for you. If prescribed, your treatment is sent directly to you for free. Start your free online visit today at hims.com/Hail Mary. That's hims.com/Hail Mary for personalized hair loss treatment options. hims.com/Hail Mary. Individual results may vary. Based on studies of topical and oral minoxidil and finasteride. Prescription required. See website for full details, restrictions, and important safety information.
Let me go get this. I don't know. I don't know if we have to watch all of this, but just for context of what I was just referring to, this is Kirk addressing the media right after, I suppose, or very soon after, he was told to grab some pine, old man. We're going to see what the kid can do. We're going to see if the kid can spin it, which has got to be very unique. It's got to be a very interesting feeling to know that this piece of shit team has got to pay you so many tens of millions of dollars, but they also have the power to make you feel this way. Very, very interesting.
All right. Yeah. So coach let me know yesterday that going to make a change at quarterback. You know, it's pro football, and you know, there's a standard that, you know, I have for myself, that the team has for me, that unfortunately, you know, I wasn't playing up to that standard consistently enough. And so, you know, it is what it is, and you know, you roll with it. And now, you know, you still get ready, you know, one play away kind of a thing. And and support Mike and just try to help our team, you know, be able to find a way to win these last three to get in the playoffs. And that's what it's all about. So, you know, that's my focus. And take any questions you have.
Okay, let's start here. First of all, I think, and it's a different situation, I get it, but I think that if this is me, I'm Daniel Jonesing this motherfucker. I think I'm going to the coach and saying, I ain't running the scout team. I didn't come here to fucking back up Michael Penix. You will release me. And I don't know if it was as stern as that, and the Giants weren't in contention for the playoffs, and let's not fucking bullshit ourselves. Kirk Cousins could still play a pivotal role in the Atlanta Falcons season this year. Michael Penix is one play away. He is having, he's had a devastating injury. He could go out there and get completely overwhelmed. Anything could happen. You can't stop the shining. You're looking at my watch, but my mind's really the diamond. So it's not an apples to apples type of a binary situation. I'm just telling you what I would do. I'm not the professional this man is. I am not sitting in front of the fucking reporter pool and asking if there's any questions after I've just got benched. Maybe I would come out and make a statement like this, but let's start with a baseline level of respect. Respect for that, Kirk.
Coach said that the turnovers were an issue at the end of the day. He said you can't have those in the NFL. Can we look back and see at that? And, you know, how did you digest that part of it? And how can you try to fix that after you do get another opportunity as a number two?
Yeah, no, I would agree with him. It's it probably ultimately was the turnovers. And you know, that's such a key thing in winning and losing the NFL.
And then, you know, long time we see, you know, a lot of football, but stuff looks different. You know, we start asking, well, hey, maybe something's not right health-wise. How was your health? Was that a factor? It looked like the zip might have not been on the balls lately.
No, I think, you know, going back to the turnovers, I think, you know, that's more probably decision-making than anything. And, you know, that wouldn't have anything to do with any physical limitations. So I wouldn't say so.
See, that part of it's interesting to me because that goes back to what I said initially, and that is it's between the ears. And the second you arrive and you're taking your victory tour and they draft your replacement without telling you, Kirk's always been a judicious guy with the football. This is not his game to throw 100 interceptions, like whatever his problems are, not coming through in the clutch, not being able to win the big one, whatever you think that it is, he's not known for this style of play, which leads me to believe that something else, unless he's concealing an injury, which, you know, if we're going to take him at his word, he is not. I think this is, again, systematic of franchise that is not serious. Why do they have a tight end? Big bruising fucking jump out of the gym, a jump ball guy. It's never come together for him. Every single year that we draft you guys have been through this, right? You guys have been through this. Every single year when you go to draft your fantasy football team, right? Every single season, top three guy, there's Kyle Pitts. There he is. This is the year. It's going to happen. Don't worry that it's Tyler Heinicke. Don't worry that it's, you know, Desmond Ridder. The metrics are off the fuck. This guy's 9 touchdowns, 10 touchdowns, 15 touchdowns. And he's had moments. 6'6", brick shit house. You think that if he was drafted to the Chiefs, we'd be having this conversation? By the way, did you see the article about, speaking of the Chiefs, Travis Kelce, lowest average yards per catch of his career by far, under 9. 9. It's wild. I read this whole, I wouldn't call it a hit piece, but it basically was a blow-by-blow breakdown of how much Travis Kelce has regressed. And it's still, they're a one loss team. They're getting Hollywood Brown back. The fun debate. The cousin stuff is great, and you can talk about it forever. But the fun debate is, should we sit Pat Mahomes for the rest of the season to prepare for the playoff? Because it don't matter if we get home field advantage. Heard that debate. Also heard Carson Wentz would spark the offense. Carson Wentz would spark the offense in Kansas City over Patrick Mahomes. Heard that discussion this week, too. That's a new one. That's fun. I love the idea of people thinking that Pat Mahomes and his injury are holding the offense back. They don't look the same. I'll tell you that much. And it's a fun debate to have, but wow. The balls. I wonder if they would do that topic on Soren Petro's show. Probably not. Probably wouldn't go over too well. All right. Let me pull this up here. Oh, my God. Do you guys get a prompt on Facebook Messenger to restore the your backup conversation? It just drives me fucking nuts. They just constantly need more information from you. Put in this passcode. Give us your phone number. You need access over here. You're in my life too much. If I fucking talk about making up a batch of Scotch eggs, I see airfare to Glasgow commercials, advertisements all over my feed for a week. You fucking nosy Nellies. Get out of my life. I don't need you in my life. Or, novel concept, be in my life, social media, as much as I want you in my life. Don't spy on me on my phone, you slippery fucks. Here's a question. Why is it that bums are always asking me for money? Come on, man. Funk that. All right, so who's your MVP? Let me go ahead and take that out of the way. And then let me go ahead and put this up. If you are watching the show, reminder that you could subscribe to both types of sports on iTunes and Spotify for free. Starting to get a little kickback from that. So please do go to iTunes, go to Spotify, search both types of sports, subscribe. And then if you're feeling incredibly generous, leave a 5-star review. It don't cost nothing. It's free. So this is a graphic from CBS Sports. If you're listening, it says, who's your MVP? And it's Josh Allen and it's Lamar Jackson. And let's go through it. Josh Allen has 3,886 total yards. Lamar's got 4,323. They both have 37 total touchdowns. Looks like Lamar's completion percentage is a bit higher. Passing rating higher. Record, though, favors Josh Allen, 11-3, the Buffalo Bills. I would argue that Josh Allen's 11-3 is more impressive than it looks here. Not only are they one of the best teams in the AFC, this was a year where they were supposed to be down. Now, is it a coincidence that the Bills are 11-3 and the Jets aren't nearly as good as we thought they were going to be, and the New England Patriots are the worst team in the league, and the Miami Dolphins were without Tua and pissed their season down the side of their leg? I'm sure that has something to do with it. That being said, on these very airwaves at the beginning of the year, I very comfortably said I think the Bills' window is closed, and I think they're a 9-win team, and that 9 wins will become Josh Allen a special. Josh Allen is special enough to get a very mediocre team, you know, into a wild card berth. But I really like the chances for the Jets and the Dolphins to contend for the division. Now, the other two gentlemen on this list are Saquon Barkley and Jared Goff. Goff. And I'm glad Jared Goff is on this list because he should be on this list. And we don't, for some reason, put him in the conversation with the other two. And I think it's because we are obsessed with running quarterbacks now. We love quarterbacks that can run all over the field. It makes us happy. But Jared Goff is second in the league in yardage and is thrown for 30 fucking touchdowns. 30 touchdowns. Should Joe Burrow be on this list? I know that the Cincinnati Bengals aren't going to make the playoffs. If they did, boy, would there be some athletic supporters going up people's butt cracks. Boy, would people not want to fuck around at all with dealing with the way that Burrow, who's cursing his coach out during a victory, by the way, did you see that story this week? Where Joe Burrow is getting it in with Zach Taylor on the sideline because winning ain't good enough. Beating the Titans isn't good enough. He's so goddamn frustrated for the entire season. He's mad when they're winning. Joe Burrow almost has 4,000 yards already, 36 touchdowns, only 8 picks. It's unfucking believable. So should he not be an MVP candidate because the rest of his team, special teams, defense, front office, ownership, are clown shoes? Now, if I were Joe Burrow, I probably would have said, you're going to have to franchise me until you can't franchise me anymore, and then I'm leaving this motherfucker. And I know about his roots. I know. But we were talking about not serious franchises, and there's been 3 or 4 guys that have made the least serious franchise of them all look pretty fucking good the past few years, and that is the Cincinnati Bengals. I would have Joe Burrow on this list, the list dominated by Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen. Another guy that is completely disrespected, sitting there on a 2-win team, just had a, what, 5-touchdown performance? Why isn't Sam Darnold on this list? Or on anyone's list? They had that mini, what was it, 2-game losing streak in the middle of the season. Everybody jumped on everywhere that had a hot microphone and said, Sam Darnold is regressing back to the mean. No, he ain't. No, he ain't. I mean, anyone that has watched over the past couple of weeks, the Packers and the Vikings, in my opinion, are both in a better spot to proceed in the postseason than the Detroit Football Lions. I don't think there's any ignoring it. I don't think there's any denying it. I don't think anybody looks at that defense. I love Dan Campbell as a football fan. I am a Mike Ditka guy. I'm a Jerry Glanville guy. I'm a Buddy Ryan guy. That's the type of guy I am. So I like Dan Campbell a lot. He's a fucking goofball with these wackadoo calls. It's goofball shit. And his team is talented enough to get away with it sometimes. And I didn't get a chance to come on after because I don't even remember. Monday I was recording a bunch of shows. I wanted to do a show on Monday. It just didn't come together. But I did want to at least mention in passing. On the surface, I understand why you kicked that onside kick, because you can't come out and say, my defense are a bunch of bums. Everybody's injured. I just lost 2 more guys. We can't give the ball back to this fucking juggernaut. We can't give the ball back to this minotaur in Josh Allen. He's going to go right down the field like a hot knife through butter, put that motherfucker in the back of the end zone. You can't come out and say that. So what do? You kick the onside kick, but you got to tell him it's a fake kick. You got to tell them it's an onside kick now because of this fucking insane kickoff rule that the NFL is pretending like is a good thing. You can't do it in that moment. You just can't. Not with that much time left. You got to go out there. Somebody can bat a ball. Someone can punch a ball out. You can put high school kids on with pro players, and they might be able to punch a ball out or knock a ball down the line of scrimmage. It bounces off somebody's helmet. You got an interception. Now you're up. Going forward on your own 31-yard line, it's a pinned comment. Go to @BothTypeSports on X right now. You'll see it. And I said, the way Dan Campbell goes about this crazy analytics shit, the analytics do not fucking carry. They do not care about whether or not it's the postseason. And it's process, it's results of a process. I get that. But we just know that that's going to be something that bites them in the ass. Happened sooner than I thought. Didn't happen in the postseason. And they're too injured. They're too injured right now to be what they were for the entirety of the season. So to come full circle, I think there's an argument to be made that the Vikings are being disrespected universally because the conversation doesn't involve them, right? It's Detroit and it's Philadelphia. And then it's whatever this fucking lustful yearning that the media has for the Green Bay Packers. My God. Chris Collinsworth is probably the worst, but then go right on down. Look at every power ranking. Look at the way they're talked about. People don't trust the Vikings for some reason. And I think it has to be Darnold. But when you look at his numbers, he should absolutely be on this graphic. He should be one of the faces down here. I'd have him above Saquon. As much as I want a running back to win the MVP, can Derrick Henry get himself back into the MVP race? Can the Ravens fucking bootstrap that shit? Who are they playing? The Steelers? Who are they playing? Look it up. Bengals? All the divisional games back half of the season for the AFC North. All of them. It's nutty. Talk about goofball. Have you looked in the mirror lately? Oh, yeah. If I'm not handsome enough for you, sir, I understand. You may move on. If I'm not good looking enough to talk football with you, I understand that. I've entered several fashion contests. My results have never been all that noteworthy. I was in a fitness challenge one time. It ended with me getting a tattoo drilled into my asshole in front of lots of people. Big week for Aaron Rodgers to get a big win. Davante Adams with a cartoonish second half. And then the big beef with Ryan Clark and Mina Kimes and the rest of the political ideologists at ESPN. And look, I understand the, well, he brought up the vaccines. I never brought it up. Okay, that's true. I watched the clip, and McAfee is very, very uncomfortable during that whole clip. But you cannot deny that the reason why there is a certain very vocal group that no matter what Aaron Rodgers does, they got a serious fucking problem with it. It does seem to be because they clash on certain political issues. Can we all at least agree to that? For instance, this is from my buddy Mike Florio, Pro Football Talk. Less than 4 minutes into the first episode of the Aaron Rodgers docuseries, someone whose voice you might recognize calls him a liar. I gotta say, that is a weird fucking victory lap. That is a weird victory lap. I've never seen anyone as obsessed with a player as my buddy Mike Florio is with Aaron Rodgers. And I think all of it goes back to the fact that he dodged getting the jab, came up with the immunized term, everybody lost their shit. And now the perspective on that has changed quite a bit, hasn't it? Whether you agree with him or not, the perspective has changed. But for Ryan Clark and Mina Kimes and Mike Florio, it don't matter. He's super enemy number 91. And the thing about it is his play has justified a lot of criticism. Him going to Egypt or whatever instead of being there for an OTA, yeah, that's, you can criticize that. He certainly has done things and said things that are worthy of criticism. But I think we're trying to pretend like we don't see this situation with our own two eyes and the internet never forgets anything and there's receipts for all of this shit. These guys are white hot mad, not at Aaron Rodgers, the football player, but at Aaron Rodgers, he's going to be the vice president type of cat. I pulled this clip of him because during this documentary, it sheds a lot of light on how Aaron Rodgers wasn't maybe that Brett Favrean type of, I'm not here to be a role model type of cat. I'm not here to mentor anybody. That he actually was somewhat instrumental in Jordan Love's ascension into being the quarterback that he is today. This is a little Aaron Rodgers. And this is them being asked if he would love to come back and be a mentor, and they're losing and all of that. And he's asked what he would do if he was in that situation. The reporter's levels are low. I apologize.
During the season?
Yeah, or, you know, if we fell out of contention, you know.
Oh, that's a lot of negatives there.
Well, I'm thinking of the Cousins situation. With, yeah. You know, like, you know, we want you back, but if we fall out of contention, we're going to go with the kid.
Totally. I mean, but there's more to that. I mean, number one, Atlanta's not out of contention. So a lot of the play is about performance. So, you know, I think all of us, whether we got a guy behind us itching to play or not, there's, you know, when they drafted Jordan, I felt like I was one bad stretch from being benched, you know, and I, you know, won MVP a couple of years. So that's the way the league is. You got to prove it. You can play every single week and through stretches. So if they ask me back and they draft for the guy, I'd mentor the hell out of him if I was playing, and I'd try and play as well as I could to keep him on the bench.
I mean, now he's getting cooked for this. It's NFL Twitter, so I don't know if that means anything. I doubt he cares. But in my opinion, that's the perfect answer. Like, if I'm in a situation like Kirk Cousins was, but they're, again, the reason why the Falcons is so unique is they are in contention not only for the playoffs, but for the division, and they're going with the younger guy. Is that was completely performance-based. And the fire that he's talking about is, hey, I'm winning fucking MVPs out here, and they're drafting my replacement. I'm winning MVPs, and I feel like I could be replaced at a moment's notice. That is the correct mindset. And if you watch the Duck Dodgers of the 21st century, if you watch that, that's a fantastic cartoon. If you watch Aaron Rodgers' his docuseries, you realize that I think he's telling the truth. That is what he would do. Now, will he be back with the Jets next year? I still like the chances of him finding his way out to San Francisco. I really do. Tom Brady, it couldn't happen for him. They definitely called. But I can't imagine the 49ers looking at the latest giant Brinks trucks full of money they've backed up for X, Y, and Z and feeling good about it and saying, let's do it again for Brock Osweiler or whomever was there. Jorge, I always appreciate you helping out with the technological difficulties. You'll just have to take my word for it that he was speaking, and I'm going to assume that other people could as well. Okay. Big story on the world of superhero movies, in the world of superhero movies, and in the world of popular culture and comic books and all that shit, is that the new Superman trailer came out and people are excited. Some people are apoplectic. This doesn't have anything to do with football, but I don't fucking care. It's my show. That's the Green Lantern. I'm being told that this is accurate when it comes to what this character looked like in the comic books. Okay. If you haven't watched the trailer yet, it is available everywhere. This apparently is Hawk Girl. Hawk Girl, not Hawk Man. This apparently is Metamorpho. I don't know what happens in DC where every fucking character that they have has to have an absolutely ridiculous and stupid name. I mean, Wolverine is so badass. Deadpool, like, these are very cool names. Colossus, Metamorpho, I want to hang myself. And this is Mr. Terrific. Maybe it's back and forth. Maybe they're flipped here. I'm not sure which one is which. I don't know who either one of these characters are. This appears to be some sort of a woodland creature. I thought it was Rutger Hauer at first. Is he still alive? So people are watching the Superman trailer and they are reacting. And I thought it looked pretty good. I thought it was a decently put together trailer. That being said, a couple of things. One, I'm fucking over Superman, okay? I'm over Superman. Everything that made Superman special has been done 7 million times now. Captain Marvel moves the same way around the screen. Hell, Iron Man moves the same way around the screen. I said this when that first Superman Returns movie came out, or Man of Steel. Once we saw Neo in The Matrix Reloaded and The Matrix Resurrections flying around like Superman, and that's his best, that at the time, that was his best we've ever seen it done. And if you go back and watch it, I would say that Neo in those Matrix movies looks just as good, if not better, than most of the Superman content that we have received since then. It ain't special no more. I don't care about Lois Lane at all. We're going to get another Lex Luthor story. These are issues I just have with the Superman character. Like, he just seems to be a good starting point. Like, if you go back and you watch some of these movies, we're like, hey, this is the first slasher movie. Hey, here's this Rosebud Sled movie. So many people were influenced by this. Time has passed it by. There's things that age well. Like Goodfellas is what, 30, 35 years old now? You could watch it today. It feels invigorating. It feels like there's nothing else like that. It still, it holds up. Superman don't hold up. We got better heroes. The Sentry is a better hero than Superman. Get mad. It's a more interesting character. The Void makes it a more interesting character. His agoraphobia makes him a more interesting character. The way that he was manipulated by Norman Osborn in the Dark Avengers arc. I mean, all that is better than Superman. Of course, there's a dog in the trailer. Of course, there's a dog in the trailer. Why? Because James Gunn deals in emotional pornography. James Gunn thinks that if he can get you crying in the middle of his superhero movie, that means he's done his job. And look, I'm not trying to come across as some sort of meat-eating, fucking knuckle-dragging ruffian. Oh, I just want to tell Superman to go out there and punch someone to death. No, 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 I get it. But you go watch that fucking second Guardians movie and tell me it's just not about daddy issues and playing off people with daddy issues. Then you go and watch that fucking 45 minutes of raccoon torture porn in Guardians 3. And these are well-received movies. These are movies that people like. But they're already setting it up. Let's put a dog in it. People love dogs. Also, then we can put the dog in trouble. Everyone will have a reaction to that. Everybody has a reaction to a dog being in trouble. Keanu Reeves' Constantine holds up. 100%, Miguel Flores. Constantine, incredibly flawed character. Very interesting skill set. Keanu Reeves was the perfect. That's a clunky movie. There's some clunky aspects of it. Shia LaBeouf is unbearable, as only Shia LaBeouf can be. I mean, if you watch Shia LaBeouf in iRobot and then watch Shia LaBeouf in Constantine, you'll be like, did he even, what, he went to wardrobe and just said, I'm going to play the same fucking, count how many, now we're going off on a jag here. Hit the like button. Count how many times Shia LaBeouf says spoon or spooner in iRobot in referring to Will Smith, and then count how many times he says John in Constantine referring to John. It is a Mulder and Scully level event. It is a Murph and Interstellar level event. It's a Maul and Inception level event. They must give Shia LaBeouf all types of creative freedoms to just say the protagonist's first name ad nauseum. But it's a great point, Miguel Flores. Constantine, great hero. Television show, people love that. Movie's awesome. They're making another one. But Constantine ain't Superman, right? Superman's the tip of the motherfucking spear. Here is another criticism of this trailer that I would have. The cinematic universe is played the fuck out. People are tired of it. I don't think there's superhero fatigue. I think there's bad superhero movie fatigue. I think there's woke superhero movie fatigue. I do. I think there is. I think people are done with it. And I think that when you give them what they want, i.e. Deadpool and Wolverine, they come out in spades. There was no superhero fatigue for Deadpool and Wolverine. It miraculously evaporated, right? But I do believe there's superhero universe, MCU, DCEU, whatever you're calling it now. There's fatigue of that shit. I've got to watch this animated series or I'm not going to understand how this movie comes about. Fuck that. There's too much. I don't want homework. And what I'm saying, I know that Creature Commandos is going to be the first. There was all that debate. Is the Blue Beetle going to transfer over to James Gunn's new vision? Well, he is, but it's going to be a different Blue Beetle. Well, what about Black Adam? We're relaunching Superman. No, that's all fucked up. We can't do that. I mean, it was so muddy leading up into this point. But if you're just following this casually, like maybe barely know who James Gunn is. Oh, I like those Guardians movies. Oh, he's doing a Superman movie now. I'll go see that. I trust that guy. They're still introducing 700 heroes. This is it. If you can't make a Superman movie stick with just Superman, you shouldn't be making it. This is The Flash. They knew that Flash movie wasn't going to be able to cut it. So what? Oh, we got the 90s Batman over here, you guys all like. Check this out. Nick Cage, CGI Superman. Oh, shit. I don't need Hawk Girl. I don't need Green Lantern. Like, this character should be able to stand on its own merit. This is the one that started it all. And if it can't, well, then it's a bad omen. And I actually think the trailer is pretty good. Like, it doesn't show you the whole plot. It doesn't take you from point A to point B as far as what's going to happen during the course of this film. There's enough action to keep you intrigued. There's some funny parts. There's some heart-jerking stuff. Like, it actually is a fairly effective trailer. Teaser trailer. How the fuck is that a teaser trailer? What's the full trailer? The thing was 3 minutes long. I fully admit I don't know what a teaser trailer is any longer. But they're already forecasting the emotional porn. The dog is front and center. Superman should not have a dog. I know he has a dog in some of the comic books. He should not have a dog. I know what you're doing. Everybody's going to love the dog. We'll be able to sell so many toys. Like, this is Porgs. This is Grogu. And I don't think you should be launching another cinematic universe. I think you should have been staying with what worked for you. The Joker, before you decided to just completely annihilate that thing and make it weird as fuck, made $1 billion. Batman made $1 billion. They're all going to be fucked. I mean, you don't have to tie everything in. We didn't used to do that. But because Marvel did it 10 years ago and made a boatload of cash, these guys are all completely broken. They're all tormented. We have to have our own cinematic. Why? Why? Make a good Green Lantern movie, a good Superman movie, a good Batman movie, and then at the end of that, if they all make $900 million, because you know they're going to cost $300 million to make, and then another $100 million to market those motherfuckers, so you got to get to $500,000 before anyone's getting paid. Then at the end of that, if we want to figure something out where they all come together, you don't need the Easter eggs. You don't need the post-credit sequences. That's all Marvel shit anyway. You fucking get out of it. It's just, it trends in the same direction. They're going to do a better job than Sony. Okay, they're going to do a better job than Kraven and Madam Web. These movies are going to... I didn't like that second Suicide Squad movie, but it was infinitely better than the first Suicide Squad movie. Everybody can agree to that. But I would just hope you're looking for what's next. What's next? Terminator tried to start a cinematic universe. Universal Monsters, remember that? We're going to have a cinematic universe with Frankenstein and the Invisible Woman and Dracula's Bride and all this fucking shit. That never happened. Transformers. Fuck Grogu, that stupid Disney fleshlight. Jesus! The chat is contentious. Hellboy Crooked Man shows it's possible to make a small contained film that is enjoyable. I would agree. Now, that is not a perfect movie, Al Sal. But if you enjoy Hellboy, yeah, man, I like that swing they took at it. Make a fucking Superman movie that isn't an origin story, that drops us into the action. You don't want to do Zod because you just did Zod. Okay, I'd go with Zod. I think that I see a lot of the same trappings and a lot of the same mistakes that were being made before. They're just being made by a guy that hasn't ruined himself yet, where so many of these other guys have ruined themselves. They're in charge of this shit. So again, decent trailer. I'm not shitting on it. I'm not saying I won't see the movie. I have Superman fatigue. We've seen everything. We've seen every trick in Superman's bag now. How many seasons of The Boys are there? Last time we saw Superman, he was evil. He's fighting the Justice League. We've seen the heat vision. We've seen the flying. We've seen the cape. We've seen the boots. I mean, there's so many. There's so many characters that take from him that there's nothing really special about him anymore. Until the kryptonite shows up. And we know the kryptonite's going to show up because the kryptonite's got to show up. If the kryptonite doesn't show up, he's going to wail. He's going to beat that ass. Disney fleshlight. I've never heard anyone call Grogu that. But it's something that I'm going to... I think I've... Is that a new pet name, maybe, romantically, we could start using around the Duke's household. Anyway, thank you for being here. Thank you to Sean Salisbury for coming on the show today. Again, if you're enjoying this show on iTunes or Spotify, continue to subscribe and consider leaving a 5-star review. If you missed last Friday's episode of Chad Dukes versus the World, 4 hours plus of the Shootster. Had some great guests. We had an old throwback Donna Mike segment, talk a bunch of football. Tour swung on by, took some phone calls. That is going up on Friday at noon for free. If you subscribe to my show, the pay one, the real one, the good one, you get it. Of course, you get it. It'll be in your feed. But it's going up on that free Friday episode feed too. So if you don't have enough subscriptions on iTunes, go type in Chad Duke Show. There is a free Friday episode feed, 4-hour show dropping Friday at noon. All right? All right. Oh, boy. Where's that button? I got a button, don't I?
Both types of sports with Shoot and Tour. Football discussion on the internet.